It is estimated that over 43,000 people die in a car accident in the United States each year. Breast cancer claims over 42,000 a year, and over 16,000 people die of AIDS each year. 34 seconds. Every 34 seconds, a person in the United States dies from the heart disease. That means more than 2,500 Americans die from the heart disease each year. Every 20 seconds, a person in the United States has a heart attack. At least 250,000 people die of a heart attack each year before they reach a hospital. When a person has a heart attack and got into an accident and his heart stops, this medical equipment called the AED will be able to restart the heartbeat with an electric shock. I don't know what the AED stands for, but I'm sure it has something to do with the electricity. I'm sure that all of you have seen this from the movie or TV series. Even though it's a very impressive invention, it is completely helpless and useless when it comes to resurrecting a person's heart, person's spirit. I'd like to go to Book of Job, chapter 14, verse 14. It reads, "If a man dies, shall he live again? All the days of his hard service, all the days of my hard service, I will wait till my change comes." In the oldest book of the Bible, the Book of Job, the question is asked, if man dies, shall he live again? That is something everyone should ask in life. What's going to happen to me when I die? What is there beyond this place called earth and life? All of us have thought about this unpleasant subject one time or another. Many people have several different conclusions of their own. If I may list a few, here they are. Some people believe that all the good people will end up in heaven, especially the good Americans. Maybe not the Muslims, they are thinking. They think that heaven is filled with the fat baby angels floating on top of the cotton clouds and playing harp and bore out of their gore. Second kinds of people will think this way. Many people also who have a wrong idea about hell. They think that people in hell carry coal to the blazing furnace day in, day out, while all the demons poke at them with their pitchfork. Or they think that hell is a place for them to have a serious beer drinking party with their beer drinking pals. You know, Colorado pea water and Budweiser Light or whatever they call it. Then there are another type of people who claim that you're gone, it's all over with. So live like a pig and die like a dog. No hopes at all. And there are another group of people, for those who are into Hinduism, Buddhism, New Age reincarnation, La La Land, you know, from Twilight Zone, they believe that they would come back to achieve their enlightenment in different form of life up to 100,000 times. There's a great Greek word for that, hogwash. First, let's see what Bible says about the resurrection of Jesus Christ. My Bible is open to the John chapter 19, verse 38, and it reads, "After this, Joseph of Arimathea, being disciple of Jesus, but secretly for the fear of Jews, asked Pilate that he might take away the body of Jesus. And Pilate gave him permission. So he came and took the body of Jesus, and then Nicodemus, who at first came to Jesus by night, also came, bringing this mix of myrrh and aloe, about 100 pounds. Then they took the body of Jesus and bound it in strips of linen with the spices as the custom of Jews is to bury. Now in the place where he was crucified there was a garden, and in the garden a new tomb in which no one has yet been laid. So they laid Jesus because of the Jews' preparation day, for the tomb was nearby. Let's go to chapter 20 of the book of John and verse 24. You there yet? Now, Thomas, called the twin, one of the twelve, was not with them when Jesus came. The other disciple therefore said to him, "We have seen the Lord." So he said to them, "Unless I see in his hand the print of nail, and put my fingers into the print of his nail, and I put my hands into his side, I will not believe." And after 8 days, his disciples were again inside, and Thomas with them. Jesus came, door being shut, and stood in the midst, and he said, "Peace to you." And he said to Thomas, "Reach your finger here, and look at my hand, and reach your hand here. Put it into my side. Do not be unbelieving, but believing." And Thomas answered and said to him, "My Lord and my God." In chapter 19, we find that Joseph of Arimathea and Nicodemus carefully put the body of Jesus, dead Jesus, into the tomb. You don't put the live person in the tomb. That would be crime. But in this case, Jesus was completely dead. In the eighth day, Jesus stood in the middle of the room where the disciples hung around. Nobody opened the door for him. In other words, his resurrected body is not limited like our bodies. He can be anywhere he wants without any limitation. We must remember that portion. Let's go to the 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 20. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 20. "But now Christ is risen from the dead and has become a first fruit of those who have fallen asleep. For since by man came death, but by man also came the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all believe, even so in Christ all shall be made alive. But each one in his own order, Christ the first fruit, afterward those who are Christ at his coming. Then come the end, when he delivers the kingdom of God the Father, when he puts an end to all rule and all authority and power. For he must reign till he has put all enemy under his feet. The last enemy that will be destroyed is death. For he has put all things under his feet. But when he says all things are put under him, it is evident that he who put all things under him is expected. Now, when all things are made subject to him, then Son himself will also be subject to him who put all things under him, that God may be all in all." The first fruit, folks, were the sign of the harvest to come. The resurrection of Jesus Christ is the sign of the resurrection of all the believers who are to come. Wherever scriptures mention about sin, it also mentioned about death. They go side by side. The two are inseparable. Adam brought the sin and death into this world, but Christ brought the resurrection and life. Whether that we are still in Adam or in Christ, we all have eternal life. The difference is up to us, up to our decision, heaven or hell. I ask you to underline verse 23. But now, right now, the first resurrection is in process over a period of time. It began with Jesus Christ, and the first resurrection continues as each born-again Christian believers of Jesus Christ died in Christ. It will be complete when all the martyred followers of Jesus Christ from the 7-year Great Tribulation period in future have been fulfilled and entered to the heavenly realm. Then it will complete, that will complete the first resurrection. Now the second resurrection of the unrighteous dead will not take place until the end of 1,000-year millennium reign of Jesus Christ. At the white throne judgment, the great white throne judgment of God in Revelation chapter 20, as the apostle saw the throne of God and books were opened, and death and hell gave up the dead ones who refused to accept Jesus Christ as their Savior, which were in them. And all these people stood before God, and they were judged according to the things written in the book. This is the second resurrection. For these are the ones who rejected Jesus. Eventually, all the people, all of them will be thrown into the lake of fire to receive their eternal damnation. Because of what Jesus Christ did on the cross, and because he rose from the dead, 3 days later, we as Christians have hope that when we die, we will immediately go into the presence of Jesus Christ in the place called heaven. That is why the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead is one of the most important biblical truths that there is. The resurrection of Christ from the dead, next to the crucifixion itself, is the most significant event in Christian history and the doctrine. This is not a peripheral issue. This is a foundational issue. This is a bedrock issue. This is the bottom line. Let me share with you the three essential Christian truths that depends on the resurrection. Number one is, life beyond the grave depends on the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Jesus' victory over death promised that we too will overcome death. God's future judgment of the world rests on the resurrection. Acts chapter 17, verse 31 says, because he has appointed a day on which he will judge the world in righteousness by the man whom he has ordained, he has given the assurance of all to all by raising him from the dead. This promise reminds us that one day God will bring his ultimate justice to every wrong done by those who rejected his son Jesus. Third point I'd like to bring it to you is the resurrection of Jesus Christ gives us power to live a Christian life. I'd like to go to Romans chapter 8, verse 11. Romans 8, verse 11. You there? Okay, good. Now, but if the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his spirit who dwells in you. Resurrection promises that God will not only give us a life beyond the grave, but he will give us the power and the hope to live the Christian life on earth. So, resurrection provides power to the Christianity and freedom from the sin and the joy and the hope to the followers of Jesus Christ. Folks, Jesus does not give us any philosophical argument or about the life and death. He simply declares it. He speaks of what the truth is and tells us the authority of heaven. I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes me, though he may die, he shall live. This in John chapter 11, verse 25 says. Let's go down to the verse 51 of chapter 15 in 1 Corinthians. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in a twinkling of eyes, at the last trumpet. And the trumpet will sound, and the dead will rise incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible has put on the incorruption, and this mortal has put on immortality, so when this corruptible has, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in the victory. O death, where is your sting? O Hades, where is your victory? The sting of death is sin, and strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Folks, do you have a confidence in God that you will be in heaven after you die? If you do, why? Because you're a good person? Because you are born again? Because you are born in America? If you don't have a confidence, why not? Why not? From what we just have read, Christ has received the dark door of death with the shining gate, and Christ replaced the dark door of death with a shining gate of life for all of us. Any of us can have that confidence if we put our trust in Christ, not in ourselves. Apostle Paul, to have that confidence, he said, "For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain." In Philippians 1:21, Paul's true hope was rooted in Jesus Christ, who died on the cross for sinners like you and me, and who rose from the grave and that first Easter morning. And he is alive in heaven, and he is one day, he's the one who will come back to us, to get us, to take us home. Those who are prepared to die are the ones who are most prepared to live. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 17 and 18 talks about the rapture. It will happen, folks. There's not a thing need to be done before the rapture happens. That means it can happen any day, any time. It can be 5 minutes from now, or it can be 5 hours from now, or it can be 5 months from now, it can be 50 years from now, or it can be 500 years from now. But would you be ready? Some of you may say that you have no idea what I have done. That's right, I have no idea what you have done, and I don't care to know about it. Even though God knows exactly what you have done, He is willing to forgive you and cleanse you with His righteousness through His Son Jesus Christ's atoning sacrifice. There is not a sin that God cannot forgive except refusing to accept His invitation to forgive in Christ Jesus. Isaiah 43:25 says, "Even I am He who blot out your transgression for my own sake, and I will not remember your sin." Micah 7:19 says, "He will again have compassion on us and subdue my iniquities. You will cast out all our sins into the depths of the sea." my brothers and sisters. If you tend to keep blaming yourself after you acknowledge your sin to God and ask for His forgiveness, think about what you're doing. You're keeping alive that memory of your sin by your own anger at yourself. To overcome this, focus on the Savior, not on your sin. Think about what He has done, not what you have done. Because Jesus forgives your sin, you can forget your sins if you come to Jesus with a sincere heart. Let's go to 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 11. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 11. This is a faithful saying, for if we die with Him, we shall also live with Him. If we endure, then we shall also reign with Him. If we deny Him, He also will deny us. If we are faithless, He remains faithful. He cannot deny Himself. The Census Bureau of the federal government tells us that one person dies every 12 seconds in the United States. There are some people who choose not to be resuscitated when their heart stops beating. Some of them carry a card and medical bracelet like this one on the screen. It says, do not resuscitate. Or also known as a DNR. Emergency crew will stand there and watch this person die because the person made a choice not to be resuscitated. Some of you may not know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. You just have heard the message of good news of Jesus Christ and what He has done for you. If you decide not to accept Him into your heart as your Savior and Lord, you're telling God that your spirit within you doesn't want to be resurrected in this case. If you don't receive Him into your heart as your Savior and Lord, your spirit will not be saved. Just as those emergency crews would respect a dying person's wish, God will respect your dying spirit's wish and He will let your head down to hell. You might say, I'll do it tomorrow. Mañana. Did I mention that the people die every 12 seconds in America? You might be the next one. But if you choose to receive Jesus into your heart, your eternal life in heaven will be guaranteed and you will live forevermore with Jesus. In a minute, I'm going to give you the opportunity to receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Please remember that you don't have to be anyone special to be a child of God. You don't have to bring any valuable thing to Him other than sincere heart to receive Him into your heart. Let's stand up and pray.